The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voice.
Good afternoon or evening, wherever this broadcast finds you. I am your guest host today, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller. I am the regular host of Road Warrior Radio, exclusively here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And sitting in for John, it's my understanding John might be a little bit under the weather, and so obviously we wish him well and we say get well soon. Mondays are broadcasts featuring Ron McDonald, and you no doubt, if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time, you know that Ron and Robert Rowan wrote the blockbuster They Own It All, Including You, by Means of Toxic Currency, which is a brilliant book. And a testament to how brilliant it is that it seems to get more and more relevant as time goes on. As you look at the book today, it's every bit, obviously it's every bit as relevant or more so with each passing year, month, week, even these days, it seems. And so hopefully we'll get into that. This is the National Intel Report, so we'll undoubtedly talk about some of the issues of the day and some of the information that you'll find on the Republic Broadcasting website, current events and so forth. There's a lot happening, as I usually say on my broadcast. These are crazy times, you know. Really, it's sort of a cartoonish reality we seem to be plunged into with all of the collision of narratives. It seems like the truth has no place in this battlefield of propaganda being waged on the American people in particular, and the people of the world at large, I would say. But you know, when you consider, for instance, that last year's Oxford English Dictionary Word of the Year was post-truth, which doesn't mean after truth. It connotes the idea that if people are more concerned with a persuasive argument than they are with the truth. The truth is sort of passé in that vernacular. We're not as interested in the truth as we are with a persuasive argument, which is why you see the talking heads trying to chatter as quickly as they do and talk over one another, and whoever can climb on top of the other person and claw and scratch them down and shout them down with eloquent colloquialisms and so forth is the winner of a debate, or at least that's what we're led to believe, which is utterly ridiculous. That's how we arrive at places like watching Madonna stand at a podium talking about how Donald Trump has denigrated women everywhere, and this coming from a woman who has done more to denigrate women everywhere than Donald Trump could ever get away with. But again, we're not concerned with the facts because apparently we live in a post-truth era. But hopefully we can sift through some of that nonsense today on the National Intel Report and maybe dig into some of these issues. I think you'll hear some things today that you probably won't hear anywhere else. I'm thinking in particular about some of the foreign affairs that we're hearing about, situation in Yemen, the situation with regard to Iran. What is really happening in the Trump White House, and a number of other issues that are kind of rattling around in the mainstream. But you'll hear, I think, a different take today. So I look forward to that. One thing I want to mention before we get going, though, is that RBN is continuing the pledge drive. If you obviously, this is a network that is maintained by the listener, the listening audience, and we appreciate the listener support. If you are in a position to help the network, then please, by all means, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, that's 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can go to the Republic Broadcasting website, obviously, republicbroadcasting.org, and hit the donate button to PayPal. But you don't need PayPal to actually donate. That's just the merchant services provider that allows the donations to be received. You can also mail your donation to the following address: Republic Broadcasting Network, obviously, 2251 Double Creek Drive, suite number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And that information is on the website as well. So without further ado, I want to bring Ron McDonald on and say welcome.
Ironic. Well, thank you. Did you already bring me on, or am I waiting still?
I think so. No, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear you. I've heard somewhat about you. Is it possible you could tell us a little bit about your radio show and the content? And
so I can. And I know it's been years. It's probably, gosh, at least 3, maybe 4 years now. But we've actually done a couple. I think we. I can't remember if I had you on my broadcast or if I guest hosted for John once before, and it was on that. But I know that we've talked specifically about the subject of your book in the past. But again, it's been a long time. My broadcast, I say that only to say it's a pleasure to have the privilege of spending the time on air with you again. I really appreciate your insight, and I look forward to benefiting that and obviously maybe helping guide some of the discussion in a way that maybe the listening audience benefits as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. You're one of the first, Chris.
That's hard to imagine and unfortunate, but in this crazy world these days, I guess I could see that possibility. Yeah. Road Warrior Radio is a broadcast that is really, I would say, perhaps Jeffersonian in nature. And what I mean by that is kind of reaching back to Jefferson's bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge. What I usually say is he put it best in that bill. You know, he said a number of things: enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits of the dawn of day. Those kinds of things. I forget which letter it was, but in a letter he expressed the sentiment that I know of no safe depository of the ultimate powers of government but the people themselves. And if we think the people not, I forget the word, something enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, which we see most folks want to do. We actually are encouraged to want to do that to one another, as you know. Obviously, you hear people talking about that around the water cooler, you know, stupid people shouldn't breed and those kinds of things. But Jefferson said, the remedy is not to take it from them, their control, but to inform their discretion. And so I look to his bill for the more general diffusion of knowledge, where he wrote in the preamble, certain forms of government are better calculated than others to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights. And he went on to say that even though that's the case, in time, experience has shown that even under the best forms, those entrusted with power have in time and by slow operations perverted it into tyranny. And it's believed that the most effectual means of preventing this would be to illuminate as far as practicable the minds of the people at large, and more especially to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. And when I think of the word ambition, that the people may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes, which is really brilliant, but no surprise that Jefferson would be that brilliant. I think of Webster's 1828 definition of ambition, and specifically where Webster wrote, it is sometimes, it denotes also an inordinate desire of power or eminence, often accompanied with illegal means to obtain the object. And so that really, I think, is the modus operandi of Road Warrior Radio. It's to do that, to enlighten the people generally, to give them knowledge of those facts which history exhibiteth, that possessed thereby of the experience of other ages and countries, they may be enabled to know ambition under all its shapes and prompt to exert their natural powers to defeat its purposes. And two specific examples that I would cite that I don't hear anywhere else really are what I – one, the biggest perhaps is what I call the glasnost effect. It's interesting that coming out of the Obama administration, one of the biggest talking points that Obama focused on was this erroneous notion that the Obama administration was the most open and transparent administration in history. And what's ironic is not just that that was completely a fallacious statement, but especially in the most perhaps provocative areas of the administration, of those places that we would want to dig into, those were the most occluded. And but more importantly, the fact that there were certain things that were kind of pushed out into the public. A lot of things, there was a document published a number of years ago talking about the Brookings-Brownlow feud. I think it was, I can't remember who wrote it, but it mentioned basically that in throughout the Brookings-Brownlow feud in the FDR era, certain things leaked out, but they weren't leaked. They were released intentionally. And, you know, that kind of alludes to Roosevelt's expression that we hear, you know, that he said, paraphrasing loosely, if something gets out, it didn't happen by accident. It was meant to happen. And so the glasnost effect, though, specifically coming back to this idea of openness and transparency, harkens back to glasnost in the Soviet Union, obviously. And what folks don't realize, I don't think, is that glasnost translated to English directly means publicity, but loosely means openness and transparency. And so one can go to the glasnost entry on Wikipedia, for instance, and I think most people doing a fairly cursory examination will find for themselves that there's a parallel that we could argue has been happening. Specifically, the section these days on the glasnost entry titled The Evolution and Limits of Gorbachevian Glasnost talks about Gorbachev's policy of glasnost, obviously from 86 to 91, the collapse of the Soviet Union. But it says specifically in the late 1980s, the Soviet government came under increased criticism, and members of the Soviet population were more outspoken in their view that the Soviet government had become a failure. Sounds kind of like America these days. We hear this clarion call everywhere generally that, you know, the United States government is there's widespread corruption. It's corrupt throughout, and there's this growing call to essentially throw the baby out with the bathwater, I would say. And one of the folks calling for a new model, we hear a lot about technocracy on this network. I think Lark hosted yesterday, sat in for John, I want to say, or Friday, excuse me. And usually the subject of technocracy comes up when Lark is around. But Parag Khanna wrote the book, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State. And he has been named one of the 45 most influential people of the century, even though we have about 83% of the century left to go in the 21st century. But on his website, advertising his book, he says, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State presents a common contention that American democracy is broken. And I know John mentioned in the broadcast last Monday, I want to say that Donald Trump pointed to the fact that America is a republic and not a democracy. But it's interesting, folks aren't hearing that. So in a very specious fashion, they're hearing essentially what Parag Khanna muses, that American democracy is broken. And so in similar fashion to what happened in Gorbachevian glasnost in the Soviet Union, we have people becoming more and more outspoken that in their view, the American or the United States government, I should say more specifically, has become a failure. But then from the Wikipedia entry, it says glasnost did indeed provide freedom of expression. Again, Obama era openness and transparency and changed citizens' views toward the government, which played a key role in the demise of the Soviet Union. And I think with all of the divisiveness and the infighting and the baiting, there's a lot of that to me looks very similar to the Gorbachevian glasnost era. And so that would be the first example, what I call the glasnost effect. The second is this is the 100th anniversary of the October Revolution. And so I think this year's October surprise, we should be prepared for the forces that have been shaping up for years, as I'm sure you would probably agree. You know, seeing this rhetoric that's very similar to what was happening in Russia 100 years ago in the run-up to the Bolshevik Revolution, pitting the general populace against the bankers, the rich, the 1%. We hear that kind of rhetoric, and we have for years. We even have folks like Pete Peterson running around the country he was doing that, 3 years ago for their movie that they put out to try to educate people and get the masses up to speed on that. But we're being led down a primrose path of destruction at our own hand in classic Marxist fashion, I would say. So those are perhaps two of the best examples of how I try to inform their discretion, so to speak, in Jeffersonian fashion.
Well, I have a question for you,
okay.
If you don't mind your opinion on the contemporary liberal and conservative today. How would they line up with Jefferson's view on fundamental principles and how this country was supposed to be put together?
How would the contemporary liberal and conservative line up?
Yeah. How close would they be to the fundamental principles established way back when on the federal constitution?
The best way that I think I could answer that question is I was born in Montana, and it reminds me of – well, I'll answer that question on the other side of this break, I guess. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with Ron McDonald and more on the issues of the day and so forth.
Around the clouds, what goes up must come down.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said the Constitution was about.
Welcome back.
Report. Yes, let's talk about what the Constitution was about. Welcome back. I am your guest host this Monday, February 6, 2017, sitting in once again for Mr. Stettmiller. And in his absence, we wish him get well soon. My guest today, obviously, Ron McDonald. And speaking of the Constitution, just a brief aside. I think it's interesting that the press has referred to Donald Trump's Supreme Court Justice nominee, Neil Gorsuch, as a constitutional originalist. I didn't know there was such a thing. I mean, is there another – I mean – you know, again, I mean, that kind of reminds me of Parag Khanna's book, Technocracy in America. The line that I mentioned, you know, he says, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Info State presents a common contention that American democracy is broken. But unlike most competing books, global scholar Parag Khanna looks beyond American shores for solutions to fixing it. in an unexpected move that allows for some unusual perspectives. I mean, that should be shocking and frightening to most people, but it sounds alluring and seductive, and not in a good way. But, you know, Ron, I mean, am I crazy in thinking that constitutional originalist is a bizarre term, or should be?
Not at all. It's, you know, that was the basis of the question I asked you on the liberals and the conservatives. How far beyond what should be the rigid constitution have we come to? What has happened to our you know, the fundamental principles? I mean, the purpose of that constitution is to protect all the rights. Do people even know what their rights are?
Exactly.
Not really.
Yeah.
Even if you call yourself a conservative, you're not. If you're going along the conservative lines, have you really studied what the principles are that you're supposed to know in order to preserve those principles?
Exactly, and those are some of the things that I've talked about over a year ago. I threatened to do a series of broadcasts on that issue and the foundations. You know, do we have a commanding knowledge and understanding of our founding documents? I keep going back to the fact that numerous founders reiterated the point that the foundation of our foundation, if you will, the undergirding of our foundational documents was virtue, morality, and religion. And we got to start there. And like Patrick Henry said, if we lose these, we are fallen, conquered indeed. And so from there, do we understand the founding documents? Do we understand the arguments for and against? Have we read the Federalists and Anti-Federalists? Do we know who was influencing the founders? A lot of that we get from the Federalists and Anti-Federalists. But if we don't, then what do we expect to happen? I think the best argument was perhaps brilliantly framed in Jefferson's draft of the Kentucky Resolutions, when he wrote, "It would be a dangerous delusion were a confidence in the men of our choice." The men of our choice. Imagine, people, if we actually thought that way. "Were a confidence in the men of our choice to silence our fears for the safety of our rights. That confidence is everywhere the parent of despotism," Jefferson wrote. "Free government is founded in jealousy and not confidence. It is jealousy and not confidence which prescribes limited constitutions to bind down whom? Those whom we are obliged to trust with power." Not the citizen. Those whom we are obliged to trust with power. The Constitution delegates powers to government. The Bill of Rights enumerates our God-given, inherent, unalienable rights. And it's just a few. And I forget which Federalist it was that they argued about the fact that if they enumerated certain rights, that might be considered a comprehensive list. We've gone further than that. Now people call them constitutional rights. They're not constitutional rights. They're constitutionally enumerated, but they're not constitutional rights. You shouldn't want constitutional rights. And we're headed into another break. I still need to answer the question. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back with Ron McDonald right after this short break. No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Yeah, they call it Summer Monday, but Tuesday sure doesn't pay.
Bottom of the first hour, and so let's get back on track and answer some questions so that we can move on. I don't want to blather on. To answer the question, back to the question, how the contemporary definition of liberal and conservative match up or line up to the Jeffersonian era, perhaps, again, perhaps with the term constitutional originalist in view as well. As Jefferson further wrote in his draft of the Kentucky Resolutions of 1798, our Constitution has accordingly fixed the limits to which, and no further, our confidence may go. I think that's pretty plain language. So in Orwellian fashion, language has been inverted, but because of Orwellian linguistic minimalism and the education system subverted by Horace Mann's hijacking of Jefferson's bill for the general diffusion of knowledge back in around the mid-1800s, as essentially proven by the Rees Committee, you know, that helped along, obviously, by the foundations of the turn of the 20th century. People are none the wiser, unfortunately. But to answer your question directly, Ron, I think my best answer of how the definitions would line up of liberal and conservative with the Jeffersonian era in view. As I said, I was born in Montana, and I think of the idea of the mountain roads, the old logging roads. When those roads are heavily trafficked, you know, it's a well-beaten path. And then you see sometimes when those roads are closed off, it's not long before it's almost it looks like there was no road. There was never a road there. And I think that's basically the difference, that the two terms are so different in nature. They're essentially polar opposites, and they're meant to be, which is part of the hijacking of language. I think one of the best studies on that is Toynbee's treatment of that subject in A Study of Civilization, Arnold J. Toynbee. But the old, what is now referred to as classic liberalism, what was liberal and what was conservative, those are like those old mountain logging roads that used to be well trafficked, and now we're on these completely different roads that have no relation to those old roads, and they're so those old roads are so untrafficked, that's almost like they don't exist anymore. Most people are completely unaware that there is such a thing.
You know, one of the things you mentioned before, basically the civil rights, you know, which are statutory rights going through the 14th Amendment. And the thing is that the real rights of the people are in that 10th Amendment. They precede exactly. The Constitution. Why would anyone want the right to carry a gun through the Second Amendment?
Exactly.
That's in the Tenth Amendment. But exactly. we're so ignorant of our rights, or the fundamental principles upon which this country or this organization was put together. We haven't a clue, and we demand our civil rights. You know, which is like, oh my God, you're saying you're a subject.
Exactly. The rights, the God-given rights inherent in the people, including but not limited to, I would say. I mean, it's kind of that simple. Here's a list of a few really important ones. It's including these but not limited to. Pretty straightforward. Yeah. It's not the Second Amendment. It's not the constitutional right or the Second Amendment right, as people erroneously say. It's just – it's funny how that language gets used against people. I think of how many – you know, how many times you have pointed to what I would call the sophistry of language, and specifically, for example, the sophistry around the concept of admiralty, and how you've pointed out just the terminology that we've come to, that has been normalized in society, that is actually terminology that belongs on the high seas but has been adopted on land. People don't realize it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it
Speaking
is.
Speaking of none the wiser.
Another thing is the administrative law. Most people haven't a clue that this country was formed by decentralized government. That meant the judicial stayed in its corner. It had its limit of power, and the executive and the Congress, they all had their contained power. But today, all that power has been given over to these agencies that are now centralized.
Exactly.
And if one wants to make an argument for martial law, we're under martial law when you have a medical board that can legislate the law, adjudicate the law, and enforce the law. That's tyranny. We haven't got a clue where we are. And one can't touch that common law right, which is our birthright.
Exactly. I usually say it. I've talked extensively about the administrative fourth branch back in 1946 on the Senate floor. Senator Pat McCarran said, and it's interesting, you know, this is kind of somewhat of a parallel on the Republic Broadcasting website now. One of the pieces that folks can see is the piece titled McCarran-Walter Act of 1952 dealing with the subject of immigration policy, so to speak. But speaking of McCarran, Senator Pat McCarran was the Senate Judiciary Chair at the time, and in 1946, as Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, Senator McCarran literally said, we have created a fourth branch. He went on to clarify, just so that we wouldn't be confused, and he said, Senate Bill 7, which obviously became the Administrative Procedure Act, is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And you read stuff like this. I know that I've heard you talk about this kind of an experience. I remember being in court one time and reading all of this stuff and just thinking, I can't believe – I mean, this is congressional record I'm reading. This isn't somebody's conspiratorial blog. It was DOJ. It was a DOJ link. It's, you know, the congressional record. And I remember thinking, is this really true? A bill of rights? So does that mean there are two? And I remember being in court helping a friend in Kootenai County over in Idaho and being there for moral support, basically. She was, just to give a brief background for the listeners, she was there on a dog walking citation. She lived in downtown Coeur d'Alene. She knew all of the shop owners. Well, there was a new shop owner in downtown Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and that person was not fond of her walking her dog without a leash. No one else minded. This person did and objected. So she was cited for not having her dog on a leash. And this was 10 years ago. Speaking of that, I looked in one of the previous breaks. The movie I was thinking of was IOUSA. And Pete Peterson and Warren Buffett and Dave Walker were running around, you know, telling people you need to get knowledged up enough to participate in your Marxist provocateurism, I would say. But I can't believe that's already been 10 years ago. Anyway, around the same era, she was part of the Ron Paul contingent that was, I would say, informed enough to be dangerous, unfortunately. And so she was in court. The judge, who was very, I would say he liked to mess with people, and she was asking for continuance. She was defending herself, and she said, "I'm not prepared. I'd like a continuance." He said, "I'm happy to grant you a continuance, but you have to waive your right to a speedy trial." And she said, "I'm not willing to waive any of my rights." There was a public defender there. She and the judge went back and forth for a while, and finally the public defender said, "Your Honor, I think I understand what's happening. If I could have a brief recess." They came back in after 5 minutes, and he said – and I was so shocked, I actually paid for the audio file myself. I spent the $6 to get it, and we've played the clip on air several times. But he said, "I have briefed her, and while she is adamant that she wants to protect her constitutional right to a speedy trial," because I'm sure anybody paying attention was thinking Sixth Amendment, but I don't think anybody really cared to that extent anyway. But he said, while she's adamant about preserving her constitutional right, which itself was erroneous, but that aside, he said she is willing to waive her statutory right to a speedy trial, which I understand is set at 180 days per code. And I just about fell off my bench, and I wanted to jump up and down and scream, "Did you guys hear what the heck just happened? Her constitutional right versus her statutory rights. So the way I usually talk about it, that was a shocking moment for me to realize that, yes, what I had read was true. My suspicions were accurate. And the way I see it, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, etc., are on display, hermetically sealed, somewhat literally and figuratively, for all to see, but you don't have access to it. You can't touch it because of the saran wrap around it, what I call the administrative fourth branch.
One of the things – well, actually, there are two cases that really focus around this one issue, and that's Barron versus Baltimore. In that case, the Bill of Rights was brought forth as far as are those our rights? And, of course, the court determined, no, they're not rights. They are restraints against the federal government from ever impeding on those issues. And it goes on to say that if we wanted those to be our rights, we would have allowed the federal government to penetrate the states, which is our barricade, into the citizenry, which we never did. And that's one point. And the other one is called Paterford versus the mayor of Savannah. And in that case, it says, one cannot sue the federal government for a breach of the Constitution because he's never been made a party to it. So take right. Those two cases. Those two cases say where we belong. We don't belong in the 14th Amendment. That makes us subjects, no longer sovereigns.
Right, and that's the language, subject to, the jurisdiction
yes.
thereof. Absolutely. Yeah, it's unbelievably shocking. I talk a lot about the administrative fourth branch. I thought about going out and polling the public. You know what? You mentioned administrative law. I remember talking about this for years, the fact that the legal resource website, Justia.com,
oh, yeah.
has a section devoted to administrative law, and they even say basically, you know, there are we learn in school, I forget the exact language, I should look it up, but it says we learn in school there are three duly constituted branches of government, but that's not exactly, and you kind of go, what does that mean? And it talks about how the branch of administrative law has really grown up in the post World War II era. I mean, it virtually didn't exist as the body that it is now, the predominating body of law.
Yeah, and I don't understand why most people cannot look at what has happened in this country today, see all the agencies covering everything from driving to building your house to whatever you're going to do, and not realize they're under martial law when agencies themselves have all three powers centralized in them and can tell you what to do, when to do it, and enforce a law if you violate that. That's martial law.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you have pointed out, you know, admiralty, I mean, the simplest way to think of it is it's as the admiral says. You know, do you have the admiral's
yes.
permission?
That's it.
And
that's
it's pretty plain and straightforward. Two of my favorite pieces on the administrative nonsense are R.J. Pristrito's piece published back in 2007 titled The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. And he actually points to a piece that Gary Lawson wrote back in 1994 titled The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. And that was published in the Harvard Law Review. But it was particularly provocative because I should look that up. The opening words, yeah, the opening words of Gary Lawson's piece back in 1994 were the post-New Deal administrative state is unconstitutional. And its validation by the legal system amounts to nothing less than a bloodless constitutional revolution. That's the first sentence. And that was published in the Harvard Law Review. And, you know, like you said, speaking of agencies, reminds me of real quick, again, back to Senator Pat McCarran's speech on the Senate floor passing the Administrative Procedure Act. He said, you know, it is a bill of rights to the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. So you look today, and I ask people all the time, so what touches the citizen, as they say? Is it the White House, the Supreme Court, Capitol Hill? No, it's DHS, it's CPS, it's Social Security, IRS, agency. And then you ask, okay, so you learn in school, executive, legislative, judicial, what branch do all of those alphabet soups fall under? And they, you know, blank stare.
Yeah. Well, in my research, I discovered there's only one part of the government that is not an agency. The presidency is an agency. It goes down and names everything from governor to lieutenant governor, all agency. That means they have all three powers. The architect of the White House is not an agency. The only one left out. So we've, we've dissolved the Constitution, basically. And agency law really falls under the commercial law. It has no limitations to commerce. And that's your admiralty maritime law.
Huh. Yeah, it's fascinating. We probably should dig into that more. And I'm fascinated to hear you talk more about that, because I know you've done a lot more significant digging on that than I have. We need to get to the phones too, and so we'll do that coming up. Folks, stick around. We're right after
also
the
donations after the break.
Yes, we need to mention that again too.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit MyDryHome.com. That's MyDryHome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast. Again, thank you, Ron, for the reminder. The pledge drive is still on. Feel free to call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the donate button to donate through PayPal. And, of course, you don't need a PayPal account to donate. You can also find the mailing address on the website. I'll mention that again in the second hour. And your donations are greatly appreciated because this is a listener-supported network. So very much appreciated. And once again, as I said earlier, Ron, it's really, I think, a privilege to be able to sit in for John and to have this time. So once again, I appreciate it.
Well, you know, he's carried largely on his own, you know, with the help of his listeners, though. This show, I you know, the man sold the bike that he loved just to help out the station. I mean, who sells their one toy in life? He did, you know, so
yeah.
My hat's off to him.
Mine too. I would ask you one favor. You mentioned the two cases, Barron versus Baltimore, and
yes.
That was an 1833 case. The second, I'm not familiar with, Paddleford versus Mayor of Savannah, you said?
Yeah, Paddleford. I can get you the actual thing on that. Yeah, that was a good one because it really said what our position is in relation to the federal Constitution.
Uh-huh.
You know, so...
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that one, so I was curious. I would imagine there might be some listeners that might not be familiar either and would probably be interested in hearing about that. I think we should go to the phones, even though there's limited time. Let's go to the phones real quick in the limited time remaining here. Second hour's coming up, though, so that's okay. Let's grab Gregory in California. Gregory, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good day, gentlemen. I trust you're all doing well.
As well as can be, I'd say.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just enjoy your show. Best station I've found, anyway. I was just calling to comment on certain words that we use constantly. It's like we're programmed to do it, even though the words we're using aren't the ones that... we really mean. Ergo,
I would agree.
We all talk about government all the time. Yeah? Chris?
Sure.
Well, we talk of government like we still have a government. And you're there saying pretty much that we don't really have a government anymore. It's a bankrupt corporation as far as I can gather. And... so I call it a bankrupt corporation. I don't call it our government anymore. It's been obfuscated. What was it, March 9th, 1933, we declared bankruptcy? Who was it? That congressman. Dan, he was one with gut from Ohio. You know, told him like it was on the congressional floor. Pardon?
You talking about Jim Trafficant?
Yeah, James Trafficant, yeah.
Beam me up, Scotty. Yeah.
That was excellent.
I always say we need to define terms, and I would refer to it as a rogue political regime masquerading as a government, but I digress. We're going into a break, folks. Second hour's coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
If your home has hard water, then it's likely that Limescale is clogging your pipes, damaging your appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars each year. You can eliminate Limescale in the entire house with HydroCare products available at Wave Home Solutions. Easy and efficient with no maintenance, no salts, no chemicals, and no coils. And you can buy with confidence from Wave Home Solutions. Performance guaranteed. Just go to BestWater411.com. That's bestwater411.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.